You ever remember a time in your life when you felt really free and alive? When was that for you? What age were you? When you just felt freedom. I'm going to tell you about one time in my life that I remember when I just felt so alive and free. I remember the date. It was August 23rd of 1994. And that was a great day for me because I woke up, and to me, I was like a kid on Christmas morning, only more excited. Because that morning, my mom and dad took me into the Illinois Department, it was DMV there instead of BMV like here, Department of Motor Vehicles, and I received my driver's license. And I was so excited that they even let me drive our fancy car, our 1991 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, and it was red. And I'll tell you what, when I was driving down the highway going home, I just felt so free and alive and excited as I knew that a new phase of my life had started, and it was pretty wonderful. Think of a time when you felt free. Now, it's interesting that a lot of times as adults, we feel less free than we did at kids. As kids, we kind of lived under our parents' roof, maybe, or we had rules. But then as adults, a lot of times, different things can come in and they can take away the sense of freedom that we have. Maybe it's just the weight of responsibility. There's so many things. We have a lot of really responsible people here. And we have all these things on our to-do list, and we need to get this done and that done. And there's more to do than what we can possibly get done. And we feel the crushing weight of responsibility. Maybe that's it. Many of us don't feel free. Some of it is just obligations. There are these things like we don't really want to do, but we feel like we have to. So we do it, and we just have this sense of, I'm not really free to make my own choices, but I have to. Some of us feel trapped in some way. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's relationships, trapped in a relationship, just want to get out. Work situation. Some of us don't feel free because maybe there's an addiction that we're battling. And we've made a lot of promises and we've tried over and over again. But we know those promises don't last long because that addiction, that habit, it has us. Some of us don't feel free because of fear. We have this anxiety. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about this could go wrong or that could go wrong. We worry that the world's going downhill or there's just something. And if we're honest, we would say, you know, I feel somewhat trapped by the prison of fear or anxiety. Some of us are maybe in a prison of loneliness. We just feel alone and we're not quite sure how to get out, but we don't feel free and alive. So we're going to be thinking about that. The Apostle Paul wrote a couple things about being a prisoner. He said being a slave, and one of the things that he said was we could be slaves to sin. We can be slaves in different ways, but this is a truth of the gospel that we want to bring out. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul wrote, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now that sounds good. And a lot of us as adults, and we thought we'd be free by the time we don't have a bedtime anymore, and we can do whatever we want now, kind of. But then we get to adulthood, and we don't quite have that freedom. So we're going to be thinking about freedom this month. And this month we're going to be looking at the life of Moses, who is known as somebody who helped slaves become free. And we're going to be looking at Jesus, who came to set people free as well, and thinking about, hopefully, what we're doing is taking steps toward freedom. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we're going to be talking about freedom, and hopefully, again, taking steps toward freedom. So today is just a first step. It's incomplete, but we're just getting started. And as we get into it, since we're introducing a new topic and looking into Moses, I want to do a real brief introductory to the Bible, a setup. I think it's good to do this from time to time. We don't assume that people come in and everybody knows about the Bible, so we really want to help people understand what the Bible is and what we're looking at here. So the Bible is a book. It's 66 books, and we divide it into two main sections. The first main section we call the Old Testament, and the second main section we call the New Testament. So the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's primarily about how God created the heavens and the earth, that God is the creator, and how God interacted with the people of Israel, that he chose a guy named Abraham. We'll talk a little bit about him later. And then throughout the Old Testament, there's a promise that someone, as the Hebrew would say, Messiah, or in Greek we would say Christ, a Messiah was going to come to set people free, to make things right, to do something remarkable. The New Testament claims that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. And not only is Jesus the Messiah, but Jesus is also the Son of God who rose from the dead and who's leading people to freedom in a spiritual way, a different way than they expected, not just a political way, a military way, but a spiritual way, a true way. New Testament, it follows the story of Jesus, and then it talks about his commission to go make disciples, and it talks about the early followers of Christ and their efforts to go make disciples of the whole world. And then there are letters that encourage people of how to be disciples who make disciples. It gives encouragement, it gives teaching, it gives challenges, their instructions. And these letters, that's what these letters are here for. Something else Paul wrote is that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, the conviction of the church is that God inspired these human writers. So we have 66 different books and dozens of different human authors of these books, but that God breathed out, that he inspired these writers, and that we seek, when we're reading Scripture, we're seeking what God has to say to us through these. And we're not just seeking it to know, but also here, as you see, it equips us for every good work. So God speaks to us through the Scriptures so that we can know and that we can take action. But knowledge isn't good. As Paul also said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So I want to encourage us as we're looking at freedom, as we're looking at the story of Moses and Jesus and the Scriptures about him, this isn't just about knowledge, but we're looking to take steps of freedom, steps that will help build up, not just knowledge that will puff up. Hopefully this will lead to action. Okay, so setting up the book of Genesis. This is right before Moses. The book of Genesis, again, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And then God chose a man named Abram. And God told Abram that through him, he told him, look at the stars. Look at those stars. Those are like your descendants. And God told Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham, but that Abraham was an old man, his wife was old, they never had children, but he said he was going to give them a child, and that through Abraham's children, the whole world was going to be blessed, that God was going to make him into a great nation, and someday the Messiah would come through that, and the whole world would be blessed. So in Genesis, then after we meet Abraham, his descendants come in, and we see how God is increasing them as they're moving towards becoming a nation. And the book of Genesis ends with Abraham's descendants in the land of Egypt, and that leads us to Exodus. And in Exodus, where we meet Moses, Abraham's descendants become slaves. They become slaves to do work and do whatever Pharaoh and Egypt have them to do. So Moses has an interesting background. He was born as Hebrew. They were the Hebrew people. They didn't really have a, they weren't really well known, so we'll call them the Hebrews. And Moses was born as a Hebrew. But there was an edict that all the male children of the Hebrews were to be killed. Well, Moses was spared, and then his mom famously put him in a basket in the banks of the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she raised him. So Moses grew up with this interesting dynamic where he knew that the people that he came from, we think he knew, or confident he knew, because of other evidence later, that he was a Hebrew genetically by birth, but that he'd been adopted into the Egyptian culture, which oppressed his people. And we think that this caused a lot of tension in him, because there was a time in his adult life, he'd grown up in the palace, knew the customs of Egypt, but he saw an Egyptian taskmaster mistreating a Hebrew slave, and something in him snapped. He flew into a rage, and he murdered the Egyptian. That led to him becoming a fugitive, and then Moses ended up living out in the desert. He started a family out there, but he was a fugitive shepherd guy with really no people. Probably felt like he didn't belong to anyone. And then it leads us to this famous story that we're going to look at the surface of this morning in Exodus 3. So we got Exodus 3:10. This is what God, speaking through a burning bush, says to Moses. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now again, think about Moses' background. He'd been in the palace. He didn't really have a people. He's probably confused. Do I belong to the Hebrews? Do I belong to the Egyptians? Now he's out in the middle of nowhere. He's in the wilderness. It seems like he had a heart to help the Hebrew people because he got so angry when he saw the Hebrews being mistreated. But who is he? He's a nobody. He's an old guy who's probably felt like he's never amounted to much. Had big hopes and dreams when he was younger. But now here he is in the desert. His life seemingly going nowhere. He's got a family, a quiet life. And then God is going to speak to him out in the desert and send him to Pharaoh, who was the most powerful man in the earth, the man who would enslave others, a man who ruled and was strong and powerful. How do you think Moses would feel about that calling? How would you feel? How would you feel? Well, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's a really good question. Like, why would Pharaoh listen to Moses? There's really not a reason. Maybe past connections. You think he grew up in a palace, but he doesn't want to be recognized for that because he kind of got in trouble. He's a fugitive. He killed somebody. But who is this nomad out in the desert that he could just show up and Pharaoh would listen to him, and especially to tell him something he didn't want to hear, right? Obviously, Pharaoh's not going to want to hear the message, hey, it's time to let those slaves who are making you rich, those slaves that you count on, you need to let them go. Like, who is Moses that Pharaoh would listen to him? It's a valid question. Could you imagine if you were sent to the president to give a message like that, to tell the president something that he or she didn't want to do? What would you say? Who am I, right? Because we couldn't get past the Secret Service. I have a message from God to give to the president. What are they going to say? No. They're going to probably lock us up in prison somewhere, right? We're not going to be able to get through. We'd say, if God appeared to us right now, it'd be a valid question. Well, who am I that I could go to the president? I don't have any connections. I don't have a way. I'm just a person from Indianapolis that doesn't know him. So God's response then to Moses, Exodus 3:12, he said, but I will be with you. Now that seems like that would be a very reassuring thing, right? If God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, came and said, hey, here's an impossible task. Go do it. I'm going to be with you. That seems like that would be reassuring to us. This is how Moses reacted in Exodus 3:13. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God responds in Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, Moses has grown up in the palace. He's been educated by the Egyptians, and they have names for their mythological gods. There's the famous sun god Ra, and there's others we could talk about, but they had names. The Hebrews, at this point, did not have a Bible. They had stories that had been passed on, but there was no writing that they could just turn to and say. And so God here is saying, "I am who I am." God is declaring himself not just to be a mythological God, but a God who is present. Yahweh, Jehovah. The three occurrences here in 3:14 represent forms of the Hebrew verb that means to be. God is. God is not mythology. God is not made up. God's not going to disappear like the Egyptian gods when the Egyptians disappeared. God is self-existent and not dependent upon anyone or anything else for God's existence. Let's take a deep breath, right? God is not dependent upon us. You feel that? We don't have to walk God across the street like he's a little old lady. We don't have to coddle God. We don't have to protect God. God is self-existent. God is the God who is. His existence does not depend upon us. So God doesn't need to be propped up, but God says, "Hey, I am. I am who I am. Tell them that I am has sent you." Just a side note here, too. In the Gospel of John, Jesus often makes I am statements to claim that he is God, using that I am statement here from Exodus 3:14. So this is something crazy, too, that God says to Moses, "And they will listen to your voice." Why would they listen to his voice? Because God says so. Love what Moses does next in Exodus 4:1. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" And then let's look in Exodus 4:10. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." You get the sense that Moses is reluctant here? Do you like Moses' excuses here? Have you ever made similar excuses? God, they're not going to listen to me. Why would anybody listen to me? God, I don't know the scriptures very well. I don't know much about the Bible. I'm not a pastor. Why would anybody listen to me? I'm not even a good talker. I'm not a good speaker. Why? God uses people like Billy Graham. God doesn't use people like me. You ever feel that way? Do you like that Moses felt that way too? Now think about it. Moses is getting ready. Moses is being sent to proclaim freedom and to help a whole people group find freedom. Freedom from slavery. And Moses is reluctant. Moses feels inadequate. And God's counter is, "Hey, I'm going to be with you. Hey, I'm going to be with you." So I love how God counters Moses because he listens to him and responds. He says, the Lord said to Moses, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Trust me, Moses, trust me. God never tells Moses really that he's good enough or adequate, but God tries to assure Moses that God is adequate. And even despite God's assurances that, hey, I'm going to be with you, it's going to be okay, I'm going to show you what to say, they're going to listen to you, trust me, they're going to listen to you, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to send these signs, you know, I'm going to be with you, trust me. This is how what Moses ends up saying. And in Exodus, the next one, 4.
Let's see, where are we going?
Exodus 4:13. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. You ever feel that way? What if God is calling you to go do something and you feel inadequate? You feel, who am I to anybody listen to me? I don't have the words to say. Maybe you sense God saying, do it. God, won't you just send somebody else to do it? Who is someone else? Who is somebody else? Somebody else. What if someone else is you? Somebody ought to do something about it, right? Well, who is somebody who ought to do something? What if that is you? What if that is you? Today I don't want to pick on Moses because I think I get Moses. I think I understand Moses' reluctance, and I think I would feel equally, at least equally reluctant if I were in Moses' shoes. It makes sense to me. Because think about what it's like to be a follower of Christ. I think a lot of us who follow him can relate. In the Great Commission, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he started by saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm over everything. I'm in charge here. And he proved it because he came back from the dead. And there are a lot of people who saw it. So he proved all this, that he had authority. And so after he said that, he says, go and make disciples. And that's the charge. The one who has authority has sent the disciples out to make disciples. And this is how he ends it. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Do you hear any echoes of God and Moses? I'm with you. Trust me, I'm with you. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. A lot of us, a lot of people who have been sitting in pews for a lot of years, feel completely inadequate to make disciples. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm not able. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, go. And as you go and make disciples, I'm going to be with you. Trust me. And that's something else that Jesus said to his disciples. Also reminds me of Moses and God. Mark 13:11 said, it's on all the synoptics, Matthew and Luke. And this is the context. He's sending the disciples out. And he says, some people are going to be against you. You are going to go to trial. The worst case scenario of what we're afraid of, if we go out, people be mad at us, you know, or we'll get in trouble or whatever. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Is that similar to what God said to Moses? Hey, don't worry about your speech. I made your mouth. I'll help you know what to say. And yet, can't we relate here as followers of Christ, that idea to go out to help set people free, to proclaim that message of freedom to the captives? Who am I to do it? I don't know the words, but we have that authority from Christ. I want to look at John 8:31-32. Thinking about how to, again, we're just getting started in this series on freedom with Moses and Jesus. And I encourage you to read through Exodus or look at Jesus and what he had to say about freedom too. But in John chapter 8, Jesus has some really great things to say about freedom. He says, so Jesus said this to the Jews who had believed in them. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Christ is the way. Show us the way. Christ is the life. He gives us life and purpose and passion. He is the way and he is the truth. Christ is the truth who sets us free. Free to love, free to proclaim liberty. We are free. Free from those chains that bind us. So what can we do to experience freedom? Think about Moses. Because before Moses was able to proclaim freedom to Pharaoh and the people of the Hebrew people, Moses had to find freedom himself. Moses was trapped. He was trapped in the desert. He was trapped with a past. He was trapped in all kinds of ways, and he felt inadequate. And God had to set him free. God had to proclaim freedom to him. And Moses had to go and do something difficult to find freedom himself. Because the freedom wasn't just for the Hebrew slaves. The freedom was for Moses too. Moses had to find freedom. And God was working in Moses' life to help him experience freedom. Freedom from just that doubt. Freedom from just feeling inadequate. Free from feeling like his life was going nowhere. He had no purpose. His life was a disappointment. His dream was dead and over with. God had to set Moses free. So let's be people who look to Christ to set us free. Let's be, as Jesus said, if we abide in his word, he is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God in the beginning. So the word of God, Christ is active. And as we dwell in the word, as we abide in the word, as we remain in the word, we're truly his disciples, and we have that truth. Because truth sets us free. We don't have to protect a myth. This is about truth. We don't have to prop up a God. It's not real. We can experience the truth of Christ, the one who came back from the dead and is alive, the God of the living, not the God of the dead, the God who's alive. So let's be people who take those. This is really a call to follow Christ. It's to take that step. And I don't know what that step is for you. We all have different steps, and we're either moving away from Christ or we're moving towards him. But I don't know what your step is, but I want to encourage you to take that step toward Christ and take that step toward freedom, because he wants to set us free. The truth sets us free. It may be confessing. There's something that's really bothering you. And you need to confess it. You need to take that step and confess and repent. That step may be to apologize to someone. That step could be a lot of things. It may be to do something that you're afraid to do, but you need to do it anyway. It may be to walk across the street and talk to a neighbor. It may be to volunteer. I don't know what your step is, but I want to encourage you to take that step toward freedom. Could be getting baptized. A lot of things. But the Spirit will speak to you about it. It's the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. So as we close and thinking about it, listen to these words that Jesus spoke. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As we look to Christ, we hear that nothing is impossible with God, and every chain is breakable. As we look to Christ, we have hope that things will get better and that we're not hopeless. We can be free. Again, let's listen to what Jesus proclaims. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hear this if you're a captive. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. That indeed there at the end says, definitely, take it to the bank, count on it, you'll be free indeed. Believe me. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The story of Moses, which many consider to be the central story of the Old Testament, tells us that God cares about freedom. And God works to set people free. Christ came to set you free. Christ came to set us free. Imagine the possibilities if you were free. How would your life be different if you had more of the freedom of Christ? Again, as we close here, I just want you to listen to this and imagine the possibilities of freedom. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are God. You are righteous, and you care for those who suffer. You care for the oppressed. You care for the enslaved. And we thank you that you send people to set the captive free. We all have hard times in our lives when we've been in bondage. Sin, hate, bitterness, shame, fear, inadequacy, loneliness, depression, addiction, and feeling overwhelmed by heavy burdens are some of the ways we have been in bondage. This morning we look to you who are strong, and we seek you to deliver us to freedom. Thank you for preserving the story of Moses that gives us hope. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ who came to set us free from sin and death and fear once and for all. Please set us free from anything that keeps us enslaved and remind us that if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. Lead us in paths of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.